real people. You keep CJSF independent.
On Wings, the fourth and so far the final UN World Conference on Women, took place in China, August 30th through September 11th, 1995. China tried to forbid reporting from the non-governmental part of the event, which they located in a half-built town called Huairu, far from Beijing. Community radio women defied their rule. Here's some of what we reported.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service. Today's newscast covers the Fourth World Conference on Women in Beijing and its associated non-governmental forum in Huairou, China. Here's more. About 15,000 women from around the world filled a stadium in Beijing August 30th for the opening of the NGO Forum, meaning Non-Governmental Organization Forum, of the Fourth World Conference on Women. China's first all-woman symphony orchestra, organized for the occasion, played works of Western and Chinese composers. There were vast displays of precision dancing by Chinese women and children. A blimp carried the conference keywords, equality, development, and peace. And of course there were speeches. The Venerable Helvi Sipilä of Finland, who had chaired the first World Conference on Women 20 years ago, discussed women's progress toward their goals.
We have made some quite outstanding steps forward in the field of equality. We have also started to understand that women are very important citizens in all our efforts for the development of the society. But, my dear friends, what have we women done for peace? To my mind, absolutely nothing. As we can see in our present world affairs, women are still only objects and not subjects. My dear friends and sisters, how long can we tolerate this situation?
Peace was one of the many topics of workshops, panels, and demonstrations during the 10-day NGO Forum, and a peace tent hosted discussions between women of warring nations. Overall, more than 30,000 people attended more than 1,000 activities, which filled most of the major public buildings in the Beijing suburb of Huairou, plus scores of booths, tents, and outdoor stages. Logistics were hampered by unseasonal rain, which moved U.S. First Lady Hillary Clinton's speech into a 1,500-seat auditorium, from which thousands were turned away.
This conference is about making sure that women, their children, their families have the opportunities for health care and education, for jobs and political participation, for lives free of violence, for basic legal protections, and yes, for internationally recognized human rights, no matter who they are or where they live. But when one looks at the progress that has been made throughout the world, it is clear that it is the NGOs who have charted real advances for women and children. It is the NGOs who have pressured governments and have led governments down the path to economic, social, and political progress, often in the face of overwhelming hostility. And you will be the key players in determining whether or not this conference goes beyond rhetoric and actually does something to improve the lives of women and families.
NGO forum participants, being non-governmental, were free to discuss and act on subjects diplomats at the official conference couldn't touch. For example, when the French detonated the first of a series of massive nuclear tests in the Pacific, there were spontaneous calls to boycott French products. Kamla Basin of India chaired a panel on globalization of the economy, where she taught the audience this song.
Pepsi Cola, Coca Cola, kisam kisam ka cola. Pepsi Cola, Coca Cola, kisam kisam ka cola. Par peene ka pani gayab jab bhi nal ka khola, kaisi neeti hai. It says there is Pepsi Cola, there is Coca Cola, all kinds of cola. But there's no water when I open the tap.
A youth talent night included young women from Western Sahara, whose song denounced the occupation of their country by Morocco. The number and variety of events at the conference far exceeded what was humanly possible to absorb. Many women said their favorite moments were personal conversations on the bus, or simply looking at the huge variety of women of different races, dress, and culture, who shared many of the same feminist principles.
I've been feeling something like what a drop of rain must feel when she falls into the sea, where she suddenly feels so big, so strong, so powerful, part of a vastness which connects from one continent to another.
For the Women's International News Gathering Service, I'm Frieda Worden.
Gonna keep on moving forward. Gonna keep on moving forward. Gonna keep on moving forward. Never turning back. Never turning back.
The Australian mainstream media gave the UN conference and NGO forum in Beijing a low profile. The main issues discussed at the forum have been all but ignored, as Kath McGinty, Executive Director of the International Women's Development Agency, outlined. I asked Kath what her main criticisms of the media's coverage are.
My primary criticism, Karen, is that the focus of the media is on the easy stories, and the easy stories are not what the conference is all about. By the easy stories, I refer to things like the visa problems women have had in getting into China, the Chinese surveillance and harassment of women, which we need to know about, but it is distracting from what the conference is all about. Or even worse, some journalists are deliberately, it seems, trying to trivialise the conference by focusing on extremely obscure workshops at the forum or on film stars or personalities who happen to be attending. Now, these are all what the conference is not about. What the conference is about is thousands of women and men who have engaged in international dialogue over the past 2 to 3 years on a series of very complex issues related to women. And the product of their work is the draft platform for action, and which is the basis for negotiations at the Beijing conference. And this document, the platform for action, is going to be the blueprint used by governments all around the world for the advancement of women as we go into the 21st century. And this, to me, is what the real issues are about. The platform for action covers 12 critical areas of concern that women have listed as their prime areas that they need addressing. And these are the areas that I think the media should be addressing and reporting on, the sorts of debates and the level of debate and the arguments all around each of these issues that are going on at the conference at the moment. I'll just quickly list the 12 critical areas of concern so that listeners know what I'm talking about. They're to do with the increasing burden of poverty on women, on education, health, violence against women, the effects of armed struggle on women, women's access to and participation in the definition of economic structures and policies and the whole productive process itself, the sharing of power and decision-making at all levels, about the mechanisms to promote the advancement of women generally, women's human rights, and interestingly, the 10th critical area of concern is the role that the media plays in promoting women's positive contribution to society. It's seen as basically not doing that, and the general portrayal of women is not good enough. The other two areas of concern are to do with women's role in contributing to managing natural resources and safeguarding the environment. And the final one is the persistent discrimination and violation of the rights of the girl child. Now, I see these as the real issues, what the conference is all about, and I feel that the media should be covering these in depth for the public.
You mentioned that you thought the media was basically dealing with what you called easy issues. Do you think they are capable of in-depth analysis of this broad range of issues that has been identified as part of it being developed for the draft platform?
Well, I'd hate to think that our Australian journalists are morons, and I refuse to give in to that. A lot of them don't seem to be taking the effort to educate themselves, which is very sad, and as a consequence, they're not educating the Australian public. A lot of the letters that I've been reading lately, letters to the editor in various newspapers, are quite disturbing. One quote that seems to be coming up in quite a few letters to the editor is that this conference has little bearing on the real needs of most women around the world, unquote. To me, this just demonstrates the gross ignorance that people have about the conference, because how can we expect the general public, who are the ones who read the paper and listen to the stories, to know what it's about if the journalists aren't presenting it properly and as it is. Yeah. There's one of the critical areas of concern that I mentioned earlier was the media, and I think that the way the Australian media has generally, I do speak generally, there are exceptions of course, but the way that Australian media generally is reporting the conference is really a strong indicator as to why the media has been included as the 10th critical area of concern. There was a report released in Sydney, I think it was this morning, and also in Beijing simultaneously, saying that of all people interviewed by the media in Australia, only 1 in 5 are women. The other interesting thing that this report comes up with is that the issues that women are saying worldwide that they are most interested in are to do with sexual harassment, with violence, with childcare and health. However, they found that those issues are covered in only 10% of Australian news stories. So I think this is sort of a pretty good indicator that journalists generally need to get off their butts and do something about the real issues that concern women and what women are interested in and want to hear.
Kath McGinty, Executive Director of the International Women's Development Agency, talking with Karen James of Australia's Women on the Line.
On Wings, these are community radio producers' reports from the Fourth World Conference on Women held in China in 1995. The same issues are still active today.
I'm very pleased to hear that the World Bank is changing now, but I'm coming from Africa where women and children are becoming poorer, and we believe that one of the reasons is because of the structural adjustment which has hit very hard on the women. We are all mortgaged.
During the Fourth World Conference on Women, many non-governmental organizations voiced strong criticisms of the World Bank. When the bank lends money to developing countries, it requires changes or structural adjustment to economic and social policies. Ming Chau Nguyen, a Vietnamese economist, spoke for the World Bank on a panel at the non-governmental forum. Nguyen has worked for the bank for 20 years and is the new manager of the Gender Analysis and Policy Group, a subset of the Poverty and Social Policy Department. Ming Chao Nguyen.
In terms of policy lending, the bank is, of course, known for structure adjustment programs. But we do much more than just privatizations of fiscal balance. We are beginning to integrate gender concerns in these structure adjustment programs. For example, in Honduras, we have put on the economic reform agenda the land reform policy that would ensure the right for women to own land. In Pakistan, the adjustment effort call for a shift of government expenditure toward primary levels where a lot of women and girls benefit, and within this shift of resource, there be targeting at girls. Let me just put the record straight here. In 334 structure adjustment programs that the World Bank has made since 1980, the World Bank has never made a loan conditional on the government cutting on health and education budgets. On the contrary, 60% of the loan made on the recommendation to government to maintain or increase the level, and 40% made the loan conditional on the government maintaining or increasing social expenditure. There is a big difference between what is in the structure adjustment program and what is going on with the implementation by the government.
Nguyen said that the policies of the World Bank have evolved to reflect an awareness of women's contributions to the development of nations.
It is now accepted that investing in women is good economics. It is not a soft issue. It is a hard-nosed economic fact, and we need this to convince the ministers of finance and the ministers of plan whom we work with closely. Our study has also shown that not only there is a trade-off between growth and inequality, but the inefficiencies that are caused by gender inequality can also hamper growth. Growth is not an end in itself, we said. The quality and sustainability of growth matters. Therefore, investing in women ensures the quality and sustainability of this growth as it affects the welfare of the future generations and the environment they live in.
After Nguyen finished speaking, women in the audience used the question and answer session to challenge her assertion that the World Bank is concerned with the health and well-being of women.
I'm Niloufar Ahmad from Bangladesh. My question is to Ms. Ming Chao Nguyen. Before the World Bank started the structural adjustment program, they haven't done a feasibility study on the gender impact. But since we have seen over the decade that it has terrible impact on women and environment, I'd like to know now that whether the people who have lost their livelihood and the environment which is destroyed can get compensation from the World Bank for their losses.
For Wings, I'm Laura Saponara.
Lesbian organizations attending the Fourth World Conference on Women in Huaidou, China, had ongoing activities in the lesbian tent. The tent was a safe, supportive space for lesbians attending the conference, and Chinese participants, from volunteers to officials, were attracted to the tent out of curiosity. Before the conference began, there were rumors circulating that the conference would consist of lesbians and prostitutes who would streak naked down the streets, and that officials were planning to throw blankets over them. While no blankets were thrown, the lesbian tent did experience a small amount of harassment. Rachel Rosenblum of the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission explained.
The level of harassment of this tent has been literature being confiscated yesterday, only the Chinese language literature being confiscated, as well as photographs being taken of people in this tent from neighboring tents.
During a press conference at the tent, Palisa Beverly Didse, a lesbian activist from South Africa, revealed what was in the confiscated literature.
It was a brochure of the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission on just basic human rights demands by lesbians.
Daily at 5 p.m., there was a briefing at the lesbian tent about the progress of government delegations who are working on the official platform for action in Beijing. Because the term sexual orientation was controversial, it had been placed in brackets, meaning it was still under debate. Michelle Cove and Rachel Rosenblum were among the women reporting.
For about a year and a half, we've been organizing and trying to get lesbian rights into this paper called the Platform for Action. We've been marginally successful. We have sexual orientation or sexual choice mentioned in brackets. So we're looking forward to unbracket this language that we fought so hard for.
In the final document, sexual orientation was eliminated from the mission statement and from sections on legal discrimination, employment discrimination, and human rights. Support for the wording had grown, however.
This is the first time that sexual orientation will be discussed at this level at the UN conference. It has been mentioned before in other UN documents, and it has been articulated very positively. Just last year, the Human Rights Commission ruled that the Tasmanian anti-gay law violated the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which was a very major position for a UN agency to make about the right to privacy and the freedom from discrimination based on sexual orientation. So it is not the first time the UN has dealt with this, but it is the first time that all the governments of the world will be debating the issue in Beijing at this level of an international conference.
In 1993, at the World Conference on Human Rights, only the Netherlands spoke for including sexual orientation. At the Women's Conference, more than 30 countries supported it, including South Africa, Jamaica, Barbados, Canada, the U.S., Cuba, Brazil, Slovenia, Colombia, Australia, New Zealand, Israel, and countries of the European Union. The countries hotly debating the language were Libya, Sudan, Uganda, Syria, and the Vatican, or so-called Holy See. In the final document, the mission statement reads, quote, many women face particular barriers because of such factors as their race, age, language, ethnicity, culture, religion, disability, or other status, or because they are indigenous people. According to the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, some countries went on record saying that the other status included sexual orientation. In the final document, under Women and Health, paragraph 97 now states, quote, the human rights of women include their right to have control over and decide freely and responsibly on matters related to their sexuality, including sexual and reproductive health, free of coercion, discrimination, and violence. Reporting for Wings, this is Lisa Hayes.
Julie Drizzen of Pacifica caught another aspect of the conference in her story on the disabled women at the NGO Forum.
No Braille! No tape for the blind. There are no ramps. This ramp is broken. This woman in the wheelchair just very almost tipped over, not even 5 minutes ago. No one cares. Women must understand that disabled women are women too. We are part of the women's community. Please talk to your sisters from around the world who are here. Please understand that we are women. We are women. We are women. We are women.
One year ago, disability rights activists wrote to conference organizers to explain their specific needs in order to fully participate in this historic event. But the NGO Forum and the Chinese Organizing Committee have not come through. Sual de Marco is from Nicaragua. She's in a wheelchair, and she's angry that disabled women have been marginalized and excluded once again.
Estamos exigiendo un derecho como mujeres.
This is a right like a women.
Iguales a ustedes.
Just like you.
Nosotras somos mujeres iguales.
We are women like you.
Sentimos, pensamos.
We feel, we think.
La diferencia es no ver, no caminar y no hablar.
The only difference is that we don't see or we don't walk or we don't talk.
Pero nosotras tenemos que estar aquí con los mismos derechos.
but we and you have the same rights.
Exigimos acceso.
We want access.
The conference site is a nightmare for these women. Most buildings lack elevators or ramps, and workshops, even the workshops on disability rights issues, are scheduled on the second, third, and fourth floors. There are very few wheelchair-accessible buses, and the organizers refuse to provide sign language interpretation. So Florence Lusaka of Uganda has had to rely on a friend to sign and speak for her. But that friend is in a wheelchair.
Here I am. I came with no interpreter. I've lost all the money I've spent to come here because I came without an interpreter. At the disability tent, you know, at the disabled women using chairs, they couldn't get in. My interpreter right here can't even get up this ramp. Please, please, change. Give us disabled our rights. UN, please give us our rights.
Disability rights activists say that hundreds of millions of women worldwide are disabled, and 90% of them will never be employed. Tasneem Sadiq of Bangladesh says any woman is a candidate to become disabled at some point in her life. So the women's movement must integrate disabled women and their issues into the larger agenda. Disabled girls worldwide are denied access to education, and women with disabilities, whether they live at home or in institutions, are disproportionately targets of physical and sexual abuse. Robin Foster of Boston is a trained guide for the blind. She's here helping her friend get around a site that's filled with cracked tiles, potholes, narrow passageways, and throngs of people. She says the condition of the facilities here also raises questions about disabled people in China.
Walking through the Beijing and Huairu, I have not seen one single disabled Chinese person, not one. And I find that in one quarter of the world's population, there's got to be disabled people here. There has to be.
Since their demonstration, organizers have put more ramps on buildings and assigned volunteers to help disabled women get around the site. But as advocates of visibility, accessibility, and opportunity for the disabled, some of these women still want to know where the Chinese disabled people are. This is Julie Drizin reporting from the International Women's Conference in Huairou, China.
Special thanks to Shapu Alafante of KPFA in Berkeley, Susan Mooney of IGCS Women's Net, and Helene Rosenbluth for production help on this piece.
The women just credited are the ones who made it possible for the Pacifica Radio Network to receive daily news stories from the non-governmental forum in Huairou, in defiance of a Chinese ban on reporters there. The workaround was to visit the email demonstration facility that the Chinese had given a permit and attach audio files to emails.
You've been listening to the newscast of WINGS, the Women's International News Gathering Service. This edition was produced by Frida Worden with Virginia Calvino, Eliza Graney, Lisa Hayes, Hope Lafferty, Mary O'Grady, Lara Saponara, Carol Stahl, and Sarah Wise. Travel support for WINGS staff attending the Fourth World Conference on Women and the NGO Forum was provided by the Foundation for a Compassionate Society. You can hear more about the Global Women's Conferences in WINGS' weekly current affairs series. Call your local station for times and days these programs will air.
Women around the world are still pursuing the goals that were raised at the UN World Conference on Women in 1995. For more about these issues and how they're being addressed, check your local community radio station for times they broadcast WINGS weekly programs. You can email wings@wings.org for more information. WINGS thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen and Genevieve Vaughn, whose events can be viewed on the website maternalgifteconomymovement.org. The WINGS sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Take a look at our program lineup at cjsf.ca to discover the diverse range of contents we bring to you.
The Slate Family Foundation Legacy Program was created to support artists who have dedicated their lives to music
and who now struggle to maintain mental wellness and an adequate standard of living. Loneliness and social isolation are key risk factors for mental health conditions later in life. This May, during Mental Health Awareness Month, the Unison Fund is asking you to support Canadian legacy artists and musicians. For more information on this lifeline of hope, visit unisonfund.ca.